I'll hopefully read it as well as I can. So, starting at verse 25 of Psalm 18. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The way of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise, that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. So I'll finish the reading there. That's okay. George asked me to speak tonight. I felt a bit nervous, to be honest, because I much prefer preaching in the streets than speaking in a church. I feel a lot more kind of observed in a church setting than in the streets kind of thing. I don't know, probably something to do with the fact that I tend to suffer from paranoia anyway. That's by the way. I was a bit nervous beforehand, and I thought, well, speak on, and there have been a couple of things I've been going through myself, books, but I don't think I'm that kind of speaker, really, to be honest, who goes through something in a particularly scholarly way. I don't think I'm really capable of doing that particularly. And I paused and I thought, well, what should I speak on? And I read the Psalms more than the whole of the rest of the Bible put together, and have done for quite some time. And I read the Psalms not in the most of scholarly ways. I could perhaps start by saying the Psalms is split into five books. I'm not even certain it is. I think it is split into five books, and talk about all the different books. To be honest, I don't really know them that way. But the way I read the Psalms usually, or often, it goes somewhere along these lines. Lord, I am all over the shop. I cannot get through the day. I cannot face what is ahead of me here, Lord. Please give me some kind of help, sustenance for the day. So I will open up my Psalms and I will flick around until I find something that feels appropriate to me on that particular day. Now, I don't think this is necessarily the most classic way of reading your Bible, but I've been doing that for a couple of years, I would say, largely because I think I've been undergoing some trials over the last couple of years, and I've kind of entered into the Psalms and I've gone into the Bible. That's not the only way I go into the Psalms, but other times I go in, Lord, I want to be seeing a picture of your glory. I want to be seeing a picture of your wonder today, Lord. I don't know where to look in the Bible. I don't know it well enough. I don't know where I can turn and find new word that's going to speak to me and speak to my heart about your glory. Let me just open the Psalms and soon enough I will come to a passage that speaks about the glory of my Lord. And so, again, that's another reason why I go into the Psalms. Other times I'm flagging in my spirits and I need to know why I need to follow Christ, why I need to trust him. I turn to the Psalms, I start flicking through. A lot of it immediately isn't so relevant. There are Psalms that are way off what I'm feeling at a particular time. But sooner or later I will get to a relevant section and I will read it and it will be real meat to me. So that's my kind of beginning. That's how I tend to read the Psalms. And when I chose this particular section, it was pretty much along those lines, I kind of headed into the Psalms. I read about the first 24 verses of this psalm, and it didn't mean a great deal to me. And then I moved into the 25th verse, and I suppose I started thinking, if you look back at the early verses, it's more to do with David's personal experience, and this is more to do with general experience, I suppose you could say. But probably, more than anything, they're just words that spoke to me beautifully, as the Psalms so often do. So all I intend to do is work my way through these verses and see what the Lord would reveal to us together. So we'll start at verse 25. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And Gaz was speaking on Sunday morning from 2 Chronicles, and he was speaking, what did that verse actually say? It said something along the lines of, and he was, and when he did well, when he was close to the Lord made him prosper. When he sought the Lord, and the Lord made him prosper. And I kind of joked with Gaz afterwards. I said, oh, you're proclaiming a prosperity gospel, so that if we do right even you joked about it while you were talking, so I can't even claim the joke, but I did nevertheless joke with Gaz about it, that he was proclaiming a prosperity gospel. And I have a real fear of that whole kind of thing, the prosperity gospel, and we've even had it in Bible class on a Sunday morning, where I've been very nervous about saying, if you do X, you will end up being blessed, because I think about things like John 15, the pruning that goes on of believers, and believers can really undergo it. When you're pruning something and you're cutting it back, it can really suffer the pain of cutting and so on. So I think there are definitely examples in the Bible where believers will suffer greatly, and it's not because they haven't been following certain rules and so on. Having said all that, there is definitely a case in the Bible, again and again, that if you lead an upright life, you will be treated well by God and you will prosper. And I think you see that here in this verse. And I think both apply, that there are times, and we should never jump down the throats of people who are suffering and tell them that they're suffering because they haven't been leading a good and upright life. But at the same time, in our own lives, we should endeavour to be merciful, and God will show himself to be merciful to us. We should be upright, and God will show himself to be upright to us. We should be pure, and God will show himself to be pure to us. That's a lovely promise, I believe. And then the next thing that it says, I had to look up in another translation, because it said, with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward, and my translation said, with the crooked you make yourself seem tortuous. So that's kind of what the ESV says for it. With the crooked you make yourself seem tortuous. And that struck me. I've had many conversations in the streets, particularly with atheists, who don't like God at all. They really don't like God. They have a hatred of him. And you can read people like Dawkins's writings, and he has a hatred of God. And he sees God as this tortuous being. He doesn't see the beauty of God. And I think it's because he starts by being froward to God, or being crooked towards God himself. He's not behaving well towards God. And so he sees a distorted version of God back, if that makes sense. And I think that that kind of spoke to me. At any rate, I've often seen atheists behave in that way and have a real hatred of God, and they're seeing a different version of the God that we see. And then the next verse, 27, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. Now, again, my translation says, for thou wilt save the humble people. And I think both are probably quite relevant. I don't know the first thing about Hebrew. I know a tiny little bit about Hebrew, but really tiny amount. For thou wilt save an afflicted people or a humble people. I think both are probably accurate, because by God's grace, there was a time when I was humble enough to turn to God in repentance and in faith and seek his forgiveness. By God's grace, I was humble enough at that occasion. And the reason for it was I was afflicted enough. If I wasn't afflicted, I wouldn't have been humble. If I hadn't endured difficulties, if I hadn't suffered as a young adult and so on, I would never have in fact, asked Phil Blows on one occasion, can I come to your prayer meeting, wasn't it? And that it all kind of started there. I was depressed and so on. So I was afflicted. And so I think humble and afflicted can be kind of quite similar ideas. And by God's grace, amazingly, I was saved. And that's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And I'm sure it's the greatest thing that's happened to any of us. And we should take encouragement when, or not take encouragement, but when we see people, particularly who aren't saved, who are suffering in one way or another, it might well be the case that the Lord is bringing them close to Him. And that's something that we should really pray for when we see people who aren't saved, who are suffering. And then it goes on, verse 28, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. At Latimer Hall, one Christmas, someone suggested, that's where I used to go to church, in St. Albans, someone suggested that we should have candles at the carol service, and they were told in response, candles have connotations. and so candles weren't used at the carol service. So this is kind of a slightly misleading thing here, where it says, for thou wilt light my candle. In modern England, candles tend to be for kind of atmosphere and the like. When I lived in Zimbabwe for a year, it was pitch darkness in the middle of the night when there was no moon in the sky. There were no electricity, so you couldn't see any street lights or anything like that. And to come into your house without any light, you couldn't see anything at all and could fall over. And I was quite messy, so I often might have fallen over. You would light a candle and you could see the room. And that's the principle here. God lights up our life so that we can see in the darkness. And that's a fantastic thing. God wants to illuminate our path and let us see where we're going. And then this next verse here, it says, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by thee I have leaped over a wall. Again, my translation says something slightly different. It says, for by thee I can run through a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. I just kind of quite like that as a verse, for me particularly, because I'm really not the kind of person who can leap over a wall, and running through a troop just isn't my kind of thing. But God, I'm not strong enough to do that, naturally, but God gives us strength. He gives the strength to us, and I think that's an incredible thing, that amazingly we can do things with the strength that God gives to us. We can't naturally do these things, but God has given strength to people to do incredible things. Because His way that He wants to shine a light on and light up for us is a difficult way. It's a very difficult way very often. We've thought about that in prayer. James was praying along those lines. His way is often a very difficult way for us to follow. But, in verse 30, as for God, His way is perfect. And I think that's a wonderful encouragement. I take encouragement from that. There are many times when I've doubted that, to be honest. I've thought His way is perfect, maybe, but I'm not enjoying His way at all. I wish I didn't have to go through what I'm going through and so on. But God's way is perfect. And wonderfully, when we are going through trials and we're thinking we're falling and sinking, it says again in verse 30, He is a buckler to all that trust in Him. He's a shield to all those that trust in Him. And that's a wonderful thing. There was a time a year and a half ago, I would say, is that right? When I didn't consider myself a Christian anymore, I thought that this is it. I'm not a Christian. I've taken too much. I don't believe this can happen and God still be perfect. Yet, a year and a half later, by God's grace, I am here, shielded by the Lord, and He's protected me through those difficult times. After all, who is God save the Lord in verse 31? Where else are we going to turn to? Where else are we going to find a rock to save us? James is a fantastic friend to me and was incredibly helpful to me when I was particularly undergoing difficulties, and really fantastic. And we all have people who are great supports to us in many ways, but really the only real support we can depend upon is the Lord, and he is our rock through these difficult times. And it says in verse 32, it is God who strengthens me, girdeth me with strength, and makes my way perfect. So he illuminates our way, and he makes it perfect because he gives us the strength to endure. And the next verse here, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon high places. That's a pretty beautiful picture of a hind walking in difficult circumstances, isn't it? And it's quite different to the verse, a few verses down in verse 36, where it says, thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. It's quite different. For me, the picture I get in the first one, in verse 33, is that God is strengthening us enough to endure and walk in precarious situations and do things that are difficult and very hard to do. God strengthens us enough to do those things that are very difficult. I think about the martyrs, incredible things that people have done, have given such a testimony whilst burning at the stake. Incredible, the strength that God has given them to walk in those high places and to balance like a hind and not take a wrong step. Whereas in verse 36, I think this is a different thing. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I get the kind of picture almost of someone staggering around the place, and underneath God is putting the steps so that you don't fall. I see that as a different way of presenting walking, let's say. I remember when I went back to work, having had 5 weeks off sick last year, and I was terrified, to say the least, to go back to work. I was very scared, and literally just getting into the lift and going to the lobby at the bottom of the building was terrifying. I couldn't cope with it, and yet I walked in, and I don't remember who it is to this day, but someone simply smiled and gave me a really nice smile at the bottom of the lifts, and didn't say anything to me. Had they said anything to me, they would have put me on the spot, kind of thing. But they didn't. They simply smiled, and it gave me some encouragement to go up to my desk and face my colleagues and explain to them the situation and all these things that were terrifying. But that little thing there was enough to kind of support my step at that particular point in time. And the Lord does that, doesn't he? When we're at our lowest, he provides a large pad for us to step on, which is fantastically encouraging, I think. I would say that God wants us to be strong. He definitely wants us to be strong. And I think a lot of the time, I was talking about pruning earlier on. God wants us to be fruitful and to be strong and people, so that we can serve him and please him with what we do. And so you see in verse 34, he teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms. Again, my translation says something slightly different. A bow of steel is bent in mine arms, and I kind of get the picture of a bow and arrow, as if it was going to be a really powerful bow and arrow, but I don't know, maybe it's broken, I'm not sure. But the idea is that God is strengthening David, so that he can fight and so that he can go out to war and do what he needs to do. Interestingly, it says in verse 35, it is gentleness hath made me great. God, I think, rebukes us, prunes us, allows us to endure trials. But the thing that makes me want to serve my Lord strongly is when he shows his tender mercy to me and he lifts me up gently. And I think that that's a really relevant thing. God is so wonderful and so knowledgeable of how we react to things that he knows that through gentleness we can be lifted up and strengthened. But I believe God definitely wants us to be strengthened so that we can, and then towards the end of this little section that I'm reading from, we can, in verse 37, pursue our enemies and overtake them. He says in verse 37, "Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They have fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle." And there is a battle. We were thinking in prayer and through the song about what the wonderful future that we have as Christians. It's an incredible future. But in the meantime, there's a real battle. We have to soldier on and we have to fight. Now, we don't have to fight people in the same way that David had to fight people. But we have serious battles to fight. Battles against the flesh. Battles against our sinful desires. We could be bitter or angry or lying or all these things. I don't know, you can perhaps put in your own particular sin that particularly lets you down and particularly you fail with. But God wants you to defeat those sins. God wants us to defeat the things that hold us back from going on with Him and being strong in Him. And I take real encouragement by reading this. I'm kind of making it into an image rather than reading it literally. But I take real encouragement that God wants to strengthen us, wants to show us the path, so that we can be strong enough on that path to defeat the obstacles that come our way. And I take that as a real encouragement. I think it's probably worth just finishing there, if that's okay. I could probably waffle on a little bit longer, but I've said pretty much what I was going to say. So I'll just pray, perhaps, and then... Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your incredible love to us, the goodness that you have, the plan that you have, the way that you know all things, and you know how much people can take and how much you know people can become. You know how strong we can become, Lord, and you know that we can achieve things through you. Help us to be people who are strong in you and that we are not proud in any way, Lord, but that we are humble. Sometimes that comes through affliction, Lord. But help us to be people who above all, when we are strong, we thank you for it. We know that our strength comes from you. Help us to be strong, Lord, and to fight the fight, to be people who are valiant in the spiritual walk, and that we wouldn't give up, but that we would strive to defeat our enemies and give glory to your name. We ask you then to bless our time as we go home. In Jesus' name, amen.